are here, and I'm your host, Brian Beatty. Welcome to the May edition of the podcast. Our theme this month is, Who Are You Calling a Mother? And in keeping with that theme, I'm recording the podcast today on Mother's Day. It's what my mom wanted. When I called her earlier, long distance, in fact, she said, yeah, she would have appreciated some flowers maybe, or would have really enjoyed some chocolates sent in the mail, and really would have loved if I had flown or driven down and surprised her with a visit out of the blue and taken her out for Sunday brunch. But I call her a couple times a month, whether I have anything to report or not, and I could tell, even through the long-distance phone lines, what she really wanted was for me to put together this podcast today. So in lieu of the sappy sentimental card I would have sent if I were a better son, here's a story about what it takes sometimes to be a mother. From Colleen Cruz.
Something that nobody ever tells you, everybody, you know, the minute you have kids, it's going to be a lot of work. You know, it's going to be a lot of heartache. But what nobody tells you is that you're going to have to lie. You're going to have to lie to them every single day about various things to varying degrees. Is there a Santa Claus? Sure, there's a Santa Claus. Why aren't you coming home tonight? I've got work to do. you just lie. And it's survival. It's survival, and it's the lies that you tell to help them, to guide them into growing up to be responsible people, if that makes any sense, I guess. And so now that they're adults and they're taking care of themselves, I don't have to lie to them anymore. If I don't have money to help them out with one bill or another, I just say, tough, I don't have it. And I'll tell you why. It's because I went out for beers with my girlfriends last weekend. And that was a priority to me, not helping you out with your with your bills, you know, or I bought a pair of shoes and now I don't have the money. Right. So I got a story for you, Brian. And it's about a big lie that I told my daughter. I like to drive through the neighborhoods that I used to live in and check in with my history. Most recently, uptown Minneapolis, the corner of 25th and Bryant, a duplex on a tree-lined block. The uptown house rarely calls me, but something was in my head that day. Something small, furry, and insistent. Chewing through the toilet paper tube of my consciousness, suckling at the suspended drip bottle of recollection, running endlessly on the exercise wheel of my mind. Go back 22 years. I was living in Stevens Court, Minneapolis. Money was tight. My little daughter, Amanda, was 2 years old, and she was just beginning to realize the concept of having things. Can I have that? She'd say, pointing at the bike a child was riding through the park. No, I'd say, but you can ride on my shoulders. You don't have anything I can pedal. Amanda was nobody's dummy. It went on that way for a time. At the dollar store, nope. At the grocery store, nope. It was a world of no, and Amanda and I were both pretty sick of it. There was a pet store nearby. Browsing there was Amanda's favorite treat. One day, after a million no's in the pet store, she held up the funniest little animal that I ever saw. It was a Siberian husky hamster. It looked just like a Siberian husky dog, only it was 4 inches long. They were expensive, $50 a piece. Amanda held the squirming fuzzball to her lips, and it kissed her and nibbled at her mouth. She laughed delightedly, and she was powerless to resist, even though she knew what the answer would be. She looked at me and she said, can I have this little guy? God help me. I had my rent money in cash in my pocket, and her eyes held such wild hope. I said, yeah. The look on her face, the sun itself never shone brighter. And because when I screw up, I like to screw up big, I dropped $200 on two hamsters and the James J. Hill House of Hamster Tanks. I'd figure out what to tell my landlord later. So fast forward 6 months. Our fortunes improved. We were moving into the stately duplex in Uptown. I had a good-looking live-in boyfriend named Ken, comedy work, and a sense that maybe things in life would work out. On moving day, as boxes and furniture were being hauled in a steady stream into the house, my buddy Darius lugged in the hamster tank. He said, "Where do I put these guys?" I wanted him out of my daughter's reach until we got settled. The duplex boasted a formal dining room with a very wide plate rail ringing the room near the ceiling. I pointed to a corner of the plate rail and I said, "Put them up there." I didn't think they'd fall. In fact, once they were up there, I didn't think about them at all. Fast forward 2 weeks. Ken, Amanda, and I were enjoying breakfast in the dining room, and Amanda looked at me and said, "Mom, where are my hamsters?" Ken and I choked, goggled at each other over our coffee mugs, but said nothing. She asked me again, and I did the only thing I could think to do. I lied. "Honey, remember when we moved in here? Your hamsters told me that they didn't want to move to the new place. They said that they wanted to go back to the store to live with their aunts and uncles and cousins. So I took them back to the store." It took a while for her to speak, and when she did, she looked me in the eye and her voice quivered. She said, "I guess I wish you would have told me." "I'm sorry, honey, I should have." She let out a hot gasp and looked away, but not before I saw another look I'll never forget. She knew I was lying. My lie painted a Disney world of talking hamsters and watchful mothers that my daughter was already too wise to believe in. Like I said, she's nobody's dummy. I hustled her to the neighbors and paced the floor with my boyfriend. "You do it," I said. "I can't look." Ken dragged a chair over to the plate rail, stood up on it, and his eyes widened in horror. He jumped down, covering his mouth in a gag, because they weren't both dead. I shrieked, "Kill it! I was in a state. I mean, what was I going to do? Allow my baby to harbor a cannibal hamster?" Ken's eyes rolled in revulsion. "Kill it? The thing's mad as hell. I don't want to touch it." My mind was racing. I said, "Put the oven mitt on, grab it, and throw it against the wall." Ken looked at me, thunderstruck. You know, our relationship lasted for years after that moment, and to this day, I'm not sure why. Because at that moment, he knew the black depths of my heart. Shielding our hands with oven mitts, we took the tank off the rail. The rodent was indeed furious, charging the walls in a palsied hamster slam dance. We carried the tank to the alley, tipped it over, and sprang back as fast as we could. It shot down the alley, ravenous for flesh. Free, to this day, in Uptown.
Colleen Cruz is a Minneapolis-based stand-up comedian, radio personality, and mom. Thanks for listening. Previous editions of the podcast are available at mnartist.org and on iTunes. Submission guidelines and everything else you might ever possibly want to know are available anytime at mnartist.org and on our Facebook page. You Are Here is a monthly literary podcast production of mnartists.org. mnartists.org is a joint project of the Walker Art Center and the McKnight Foundation. The mission of mnartists.org is to improve the lives of Minnesota artists and provide access to and engagement with Minnesota's arts culture.